Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and disappear when the world needs us most. I am, again, your solo host, Cannon MacArthur. Cole has not returned to save the world. He's off doing whatever important skills he's learning, whatever elements he's mastering, whatever. So you must stick with me on this solo adventure yet again. I'm so sorry. I like how I started these solo episodes like, oh, isn't it great that you guys get me? And now I'm just like, I'm sorry. I know what you got. You guys aren't just here for me. Unless you are, which you're welcome. But since Cole is still not with us for today, I thought, carrying on with the idea of covering topics that are less suited towards Cole, I thought today we could talk about Avatar. Not the blue cat people, but the good Avatar. Sorry, James Cameron. We're going to talk about The Last Airbender. We're going to be doing a tier list on Avatar The Last Airbender characters. Who are our favorites? Who are our those characters less important to us? And where do they rank amongst each other? The reason this is a good episode for me and a good episode to do when Cole's not around is because if you listen to our first episode, you may have heard that Avatar The Last Airbender is my favorite cartoon of all time. I think it's just the best. Cole, because he's a crazy person, is not an Avatar person. He's not an Avatar guy. He's aware of it. It's not his show. He's a crazy person. You may lambast him in the comments for him to see upon his return. But while he's gone, while we are missing him dearly, today we're going to talk about Avatar, The Last Airbender. What we love about it, the characters we love about it, what we love about those characters we love. Lots of love going around. What are your thoughts on Avatar The Last Airbender or the Avatar franchise overall? I know if you're of my age or around my age, you probably watched it growing up as I did and loved it as a kid. It was always one of my favorite shows to watch as a kid. And nowadays, I can rewatch it on whatever streaming platform and I can appreciate it even more. It is a show that only gets better with time. I love it. The animation is fantastic from day one and only gets better. The writing is the same, is always great, but has gotten better over the course of the show. No character is one-dimensional. There is more to every character. There is so, so much to love about that show. And I'll say it. I enjoy Korra a lot. I enjoy Legend of Korra a lot. I'll say it as if that's like a hot take. I know there's a lot of like lambasting of Legend of Korra on the internet. I think most of it's dumb. I think the show is great. I think it's a lovely, lovely show to watch, like its predecessor. I do still prefer Last Airbender, of course. Not even of course. I'm making a lot of strong statements and then pulling them back. But I love Korra too. I think the Avatar franchise is great. Discounting the live-action movie. I've not seen the live-action Netflix show. Maybe that's great, too. But we just won't look at the Shyamalan movie. That doesn't count. We forget about that. But what we don't forget about is all the characters from the original show. So let's get into it. We are doing the basic tier list setup. All the basic tiers of D at the bottom, followed by C, B, A, and S at the top. You get it. You've seen a tier list. Let's get started. And our first character is, of course, our title character, the Last Airbender himself, until he's not, Aang. I mean, I think this is pretty simple, right? I think Aang is immediately an S-tier character. I think maybe you could argue that he's closer to A, but I'm going to put him in S. I feel like if you're going to argue that he's at A rather than S, it's because, like, he's more one note throughout the show. He's just this kind, gentle pacifist dude who doesn't like fighting, and he's always bright and friendly and whatever. But I think, like, the fact that he is always bright and pacifistic and kind, it communicates more about his character when he's not, when he's challenged over needing to take a violent approach to fighting the Fire Lord, or when he's a nervous wreck over the invasion coming up and everything's riding on him and he can't be happy and friendly and bright and hopeful because everything's riding on him. And then, of course, the main example of when he's not bright and happy and friendly is when Appa gets stolen. And he just, like, wants to tear shit up and go into the Avatar state and mess up those sandbenders. Showing Aang is not one-dimensional. And we even see that he's not one-dimensional from the start. He is bright and happy and friendly when we first meet him, and he's just, like, a carefree kid, you know, riding penguins, sledding penguins down the ice slopes in the South Pole, rather. But we also see that he sees himself kind of as a failure, as a runaway. That he kind of failed his people, and he knows he's the Avatar, but he's trying to run away from that destiny. Aang is just a great character, and he's a great role model. He's a great just character to enjoy and love and appreciate. Aang is great, starting off strong, S-tier character. Following up, Aang is the second airbender. You know what? That's Appa. We're talking about Appa. The Sky Bison Appa. And is... Now that I think about it, that's kind of ironic. The whole show is called The Last Airbender, and as soon as we meet Aang, we meet him alongside another airbender being Appa. I never thought about that. I never thought about that. Appa is an airbender. All the Sky Bisons are airbenders. The Air Nomads learned how to airbend from the Sky Bison. That makes Appa an S-tier character. No. Appa is another one that might seem surface level from the get-go. He's just a sort of big, slow animal character who doesn't talk until he does when Aang is having his crazy stress hallucinations. But we see that there is more to Appa throughout the show. Especially in, of course, Appa's lost days, when he has to fend for himself, fight for himself, show how much he cares about Aang and how deep their connection is. I don't know if I would say that brings him up to an S-tier character. Is he an A-tier character? A for Appa. Is he an A-tier character? I mean, when we feel for Appa, we really do feel for him during Appa's lost days. Huh. Where do we put Appa? Appa's Lost Days are a really strong episode. It is one episode. And he's around the whole time, so we love Appa. We grow to care for Appa. We feel for the gang when Appa is kidnapped, bison-napped. Huh. I'm looking at either A or B for Appa. Is there enough of Appa to put him in A? I'm not going to go lower than B, but is there enough to Appa to put him in A? Fuck it, sure. We'll put Appa in A tier. Some people might find that crazy. Some people might say that Appa is too simple of a character to put him as high as A tier. But I don't know. We grow to love Appa as just like the surface level pet, best friend of Aang kind of figure in the show. But again, like, we get to see other elements of him and how much he cares for Aang and how much of a history he has. I'll put him in A. Why not? Also voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, so that never disappoints. Next up, Azula. Fucking S. Possibly the best character in the show. I gotta put her above Aang in S tier. I'm sorry, Aang. I love you. But Azula is so good. Grey Griffin is so good. She's so detestable and hateable, but... you see where the blinds get pulled back and you get to see more of why she is the way she is and how tortured she is and the weight on her back and how after the final Agni Kai, after Zuko and Katara beat her at the end of the show, how she is broken down by all that weight on her back collapsing on top of her. And again, Grey Griffin killing it with the terrifying, blood-curdling, deeply traumatic tears. I can't Azula might be the best character in the show. She might stay at the top for the rest of this tier list. I can only think of one character who might surpass her, and we'll get to them. But Azula is just amazing, and God bless whatever soul in the development team, production team, whoever, came up with the idea to give Azula blue fire. Oh my God. I would kiss you if I knew where you were and who you are. The final, I've said this before in my own opinions, I don't know if I've said that on the show, I don't know when I would have, but I said at the start of the show, at the start of this episode, that the animation for Avatar The Last Airbender is always great. The best example, the best animation throughout the entire show, in my opinion, is the final Agni Kai between Azula and Zuko. The orange and the blue blasting off each other, the fury of the fires slamming into each other, blasting past each other, Sozin's Comet powering them up, and just to give them that full Dragon Ball Z level fireworks, pun intended. It's amazing. The final Agni Kai is the best animation in the show, and it's two of the greatest characters in the show, Zuko and Azula, battling each other out, the fight we have been waiting for. I could say more. Azula might be the best written character in the show. We'll get to the other example, the other person who might challenge her later on. But I can't put her any lower than S. I can't put her any lower than the top of S at this moment. Next character. Our next character is Bato, the sort of uncle-ish figure, the best friend of Katara and Sokka's dad. We meet him a couple times throughout the show. The first time we meet him is when the gang comes across a water tribe ship, a southern water tribe ship, and we find Bato has been left behind for his injuries to recover before rejoining with the rest of the southern tribe warriors. And yeah, he's a solid character. I would say this is the first one that is a good character, but more of a serviceable character. There's nothing about the character that goes, man, I love Bato. Maybe you do love Bato. Tell me why in the comments. Bato is around for one episode where he's a major player and then comes back for, you know, support roles, very support roles later on in the show. I'll put Bato at B. He provides some good lessons for the gang when he's around, and he, you know, when he shows up later, he's a nice face to see, a nice memorable face to see, voice to hear, etc., etc. Teaches some nice lessons to the gang when he's in his first episode, when he's more prominent. Yeah, great. Put him at B. B for Bato. Next up, Cabbage Salesman. I think that is his name. I don't think he has any other name. I'd be shocked and pleased if he had another name. One of the most popular running jokes in the show. Do we put him at S? No, maybe not. Tempting, but maybe not. He's not a character. Oh, it's a great running gag. I don't want to put him at C because that feels like lower tier. What is lower tier? If B is middle ground and if we were looking at C and D as like subpar or bad characters for C and D, I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't put him at... He's not a bad character. He's just not a character. I guess I'll put him at C, but he's always positive when he's around because he's a funny joke. He's a funny joke to return to. Fuck it. I'll put him at B. Very middle of the road. Sure. I'll put him at C. I'll put him at C because... I'll put Cabbage Salesman at C because I feel like because Avatar The Last Airbender is so great, I don't feel like we're going to have any bad characters. So rather than viewing S is like top tier perfect characters, A is like great characters, B is like pretty good characters, C is like serviceable characters, D is like as bad as it gets in this great show. So I'll put Cabbage Salesman at C. We'll approach the rest of the characters with that in mind. C is perfect. A is great. B is really good. C is serviceable. D is as bad as it gets. Next up, Sparky Sparky Boom Man, the combustion bender, the bounty hunter that Zuko sends after the gang when he knows the Avatar is still alive. Sparky Sparky Boom Man, he's a great side antagonist, a great threatening force, great image, introduces us to combustion building that we later see in Legend of Korra again. He's wordless. He's got a cool design, a memorable design with a metal arm, metal leg. Cool representation for disabled characters, disabled people. He leads to some great fights, great animation in the show when he's chasing the gang and like Aang has to lead him off and like distract him that way, and Aang gives some really cool airbending to block the combustion building, combustion bending. Yeah, Sparky Sparky Boom Man. I'll put him in B above Bato. Sorry, Bato. Sandbender. Just the random sandbender who kidnaps Appa. Again, not really much of a character, more of a plot device. I'll put him at... Is there anything bad about him? If there's anything bad about him, I'd put him at D, but there's really not. He's just pretty simple, serviceable. I guess I'll put him at C. Below Cabbage Salesman, of course. I'll put him at C. Perfectly serviceable, only around to really move the plot and, like, take away the device that the gang relies on in the form of Appa as their transport and drive a lot of Aang's personal character moments in that stretch of the show. Yeah, pretty much just a plot device in the form of a character. He'll go at C, a little cabbage guy. Monk Gyatso. I feel like Gyatso goes to B. I'll honestly, do I put him above or below Bato? Does Gyatso go? Gyatso. Moving on. Does Gyatso go above or below Bato? My initial thought was to put him below Bato in B because he's a good character in how he's used, and he is a good character in service to Aang's character, kind of in the same way that Bato is. Bato is less of a character on his own and more of a support character to Sokka and Katara and Aang. Gyatso is the same way for Aang, but he's also not an active character. He's only a character that we see in reflection and memory. But he's always pleasant and fun. I would say he's got a more likable, more memorable personality than Bato. And he has a more long-term effect. He comes back more than Bato. I'll put him above Bato. Serves a very similar purpose to Bato, but I feel like he has more of an impact than Bato. Hakoda. Sokka and Katara's dad. Hakoda, leader of the Southern Water Tribe, a sort of strong father figure to Katara and Sokka, a brave warrior, an inspiration to his kids, an important part of keeping the story moving in how the invasion is planned and executed, again serves Sasuke's character, serves Sasuke's character to give Sasuke the space to be the leader in the invasion, which is great for Sasuke. But also, Hakoda is a strong character on his own in how he had on how he had to make the personal sacrifice to leave home and leave his kids to go fight the war. How he misses his wife, and that sort of drives him to protect what he has left. Yeah, Hakoda's a strong character. Is he... I hesitate to put him in A, but he's definitely above Sparky Sparky Boom Man if we put him in B. I'll say Hakoda goes A, bottom of A, because he is a good character and he serves the plot and the other characters really well. I just wouldn't put him in the same rank. I wouldn't put him in the same rank as... As Sparky Sparky Boom Man, Gyatso, and... Bato. Okay, I feel like A is good. I feel like A is good for Hakoda. Hama, the Southern Water Tribe waterbender hiding out in the Fire Nation, who introduces us to bloodbending. I feel the bloodbending aspect of Hama's character, like, already knocks her higher on the list. Bloodbending is such a cool, creepy, interesting part of the show, a way that we had never seen or really thought about waterbending or bending at all being used. And we later see, like, airbending in a similar way, used in a similar way in Legend of Korra, when when Zaheer uses airbending to draw the breath out of the Earth Queen. But bloodbending is just, like, it was the first time we'd seen bending being used, like, on the body of an enemy. It's so creepy in how the body twitches and moves and contorts in unnatural ways. Oh, it's creepy. And Hama is she's not just like a monster movie villain. She's a character. She's a great character in and of herself, in how she is motivated to do what she's doing because of how the Fire Nation kidnapped her people, imprisoned her, ruined her life. She's a great character in and of herself. And she only appears for one episode, which might bump her down lower, but the effect of her can be felt later on when Katara goes to find her mother's killer and uses bloodbending herself. And, like, we know that Katara is in a darker place, a darker mindset, because she's using this form of bending that she hates, that she's terrified to use. She has such a lasting impact on Katara specifically. And gives us what also Hama does is she gives us a great example as to this idea that not everything is black and white. The Fire Nation aren't the only bad guys. We had seen elements of that previously in the other nations being more morally gray or even straight up villainous, but it shows that there are other bad people in the other nations, and it shows the effect that war can have on civilians. If you count her as a civilian, she did fight against the Fire Nation when they first came to the Southern Water Tribe. Yeah, Hama's a great one-episode character who has an effect on this show and Katara specifically for a longer run. And we see bloodbending again later on in the first season of Legend of Korra as well. So even in the next show, Hama's effect can be felt. I'm going to put Hama at A. I'll put her at the bottom of A. I'll put her below Hakoda. But I think she's just a great character, and she's so fucking creepy. Jeez. Ugh. Next up, Haru, the young earthbender that the gang comes across early on. Connects with Katara, comes back later to be a sort of friendly ally. Yeah. Haru's a good character. Haru's a pretty basic character. I would say he's more active than... Is he more active than Bato? I would say he's more active than Bato, because he actually takes part in fighting the Fire Nation in the episode he's introduced. I would put him above Bato, below Gyatso. Yeah. Haru can go and be... Haru can go and be below Gyatso, above Bato. Simple enough. Next up, General Iroh. Another obvious S. Another obvious S, but where do we put him in S? I think above Aang again. Below Azula, but I think above Aang. I'm sorry, Aang. You're great. I'm sure Aang forgives me. But Iroh, he's great. We get introduced to him as the silly uncle who's the tutor to his nephew, the prince, the exiled prince. And we kind of learn that even though he is a general and he's sort of respected on his ship and he's respected in certain ways in the rest of the Fire Nation, when Zhao brings him in as a supporter advisor, he's really an outcast himself, just the same way that Zuko is, and we learn to find out why that is, that he used to be more like the Fire Nation that we know, the sort of imperialistic Fire Nation that we know, but that was broken in him. He was broken, and he was broken down and had to rebuild himself as a better person when he saw the effect that imperialism has on not just the people that he's invading in Ba Sing Se in the Earth Kingdom, but also the impact it has on him and his homeland and his family when he loses his son. And oh my god, Tales from Ba Sing Se, we all saw the episode, we all know the episode, we all know this, we all remember the song he sings, and how that episode was dedicated to Iroh's original voice actor. Iroh's original voice actor, Mako, who sadly passed away during the making of the show and was then replaced. Later replaced by Greg Baldwin. But yeah, Iroh is a great character on his own. And in terms of characters who have powerful effects on other characters, Iroh is probably the greatest example. Like, we only need to look at his relationship with Zuko to see that. He is such a driving force in Zuko's personal character arc. And Zuko's character arc being one of the stronger, if not strongest, character arcs in the show. And Iroh is such a powerful force in that. And he never really gives up on his nephew, and Iroh himself is such a great example for role models, and he's a great role model himself for people looking up to him, and people love to quote Iroh and take the lessons from him and really use them in their own lives. He goes beyond affecting people in the show and starts affecting people in real life. Iroh is just great. He takes second place behind Azula. In terms of best characters, Iroh is where he belongs. Next up is Zhang Zhang, Aang's first firebending teacher. The lessons that he attempts to teach Aang and kind of Aang fails to learn, teaches Aang a valuable lesson about controlling himself and controlling fire and rage and blah blah. He's kind of like if Iroh learned his lesson in a more aggressive way. Like, they were both Fire Nation officers who turned away from that life because they saw the violence they were enacting. But Iroh chose to lead, like, a more inspirational life teaching others, and Zhang Zhang chose to remain, like, bitter and just bitter and more violent towards, or not even violent, like opposing violence, pacifist in an aggressive sense. He's an aggressive pacifist. He's aggressively pacifistic until he, you know, goes back into the fight and becomes one of the White Lotus and whatnot. Yeah, Zhang Zhang, effective character. Memorable character. I would say, we'll put him at top of B. Top of B. Similar to Iroh, but not at the level of Iroh. Next up, Jet. I think Jet's got to go right into A. He's another representation of antagonistic characters who don't come for the Fire Nation, are motivated by the Fire Nation and the acts they do, and are an example of the outcome, the negative outcome that imperialism has not only on people, but how the survivors turn out when imperialism is allowed to spread, and fucking dies, sees the error of his ways, wants to be a better person, but maintains his violent streak and is brainwashed by the secret government of Ba Sing Se, and is he the only character to fucking die in Last Airbender? We got deaths in Korra, in Legend of Korra, but I can't think of anybody else who fucking eats it in Last Airbender. I'm going to put Jet in A above Hakoda. Next up is Jin, the girl that Zuko goes on a date with. And I think it's Tales of Ba Sing Se that this occurs. No, maybe it is. I can't remember. But it's the Jin. She's the girl that Zuko goes on a date with. And she's nice. Not a lot to her. Like, I think, if I remember correctly, she has, like, another sour history with the Fire Nation. Like, maybe her parents were killed by the Fire Nation or something like that. Or maybe, like, she was given a scar by the Fire Nation or something like that. And she connects with Zuko in that way and serves Zuko's character pretty well in a way to, like, give Zuko a view into civilian life and how the Fire Nation affects people in the civilian world, the civilian level, and continues to push Zuko in that direction away from the Fire Nation, which he eventually goes back on before turning back against them. Yeah, Jin is good. Jin's good, but she pretty basic, like even less servicing than Bato. She's nice in the episode she's in, but never comes back and is otherwise not forgettable. I'll put her in C? Sure, I'll put her in C. Next up is Judy. Judy, the first brainwashed tour guide, I guess, representative of the Earth King that the gang meets when first making it to Ba Sing Se. She is less of a character herself. She's really not a character in and of herself. She's like a representation of the corruption of Ba Sing Se. It's effective. It's distressful in a good way. It's distressful writing. In a good way. Ba Sing Se is a great storyline. The corruption plot is really good. She's an important part of it to give the gang their first look into it, and the audience gets to see how messed up Ba Sing Se is through her. I'll put her in C. There's not much to her. There's not much to her. June, the bounty hunter girl with the scent tracking monster pet thing. Yeah, another interesting side character. Cool aesthetic, cool goth aesthetic, and an interesting creature that helps her, you know, do her business. And she's, you know, cool on her own when she's fighting in the bar and handling herself, and she's a good combatant herself. June is cool. I like June. I would put June, I feel like she's in the same area as Sparky Boom Man, and helps the gang find Iroh later on, adds to the mystery of where Aang is during that moment because her scent-tracking animal can't find Aang while he's on the Lion Turtle. June, I'll put above Sparky Boom Man. Katara, another on the surface sweet, kind, gentle soul who can turn into a badass at any moment. And again, like the sweet, kind, sort of motherly, sisterly, loving character falls away when she goes to track down her mother's killer, or she's mad at her dad for leaving them, or mad at Aang for going off on his own. She's not as basic as to fall in love with the hero right away. And grows to develop a genuine love for Aang over time. Katara, A or S? A or S? Am I gonna put all the gang members in S? I wouldn't be disappointed if I did. It wouldn't not make sense if I did. They're very well-written characters. Am I gonna end up putting all the gang members in S? I mean, yeah, fuck it. I love these characters. Katara goes in S. I'll put her below Aang. I feel like that's a pretty close decision between Aang and Katara, who is a better character. I'd probably say they're even, honestly. And they're just a natural fit for each other. Katara, when I was a child, definitely when you're a kid and you have those crushes on animated characters, Katara was definitely mine. Never went for Azula or Ty Lee or whoever as a kid. Katara was, where was that for me? Best waterbender of her age. Boomy. King Boomy. Very fun character. A recurring character. A fun character. A memorable character. A great earthbender. Offers an interesting dilemma and twist and challenge when they first meet Boomy. Or when the audience first meets Boomy. Boomy, 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 Boomy. Also must be really old. He's like over 100. He's over 100 years old because Aang has been gone for 100 years. He's really old and still ripped. That rock candy is doing wonders for his health. Where do I put Boomy? Boomy has a lasting effect on Aang. He's one of Aang's closest friends. He is this wise advisor to Aang and the gang. Takes back his whole city by himself during the eclipse. I think Boomy goes into A. Yeah, Boomy can go in A. I'll put him below Hama, because I feel Boomy plays more of a role in the story, but I think Hama has more of an effect. Next up is the Earth King. Earth King is a fun character, a nice character, and his like simple nature that he grows out of when he's been kind of kept in the dark his whole life, trained to be a figurehead, but he does care about his people, and when the evidence is shown that the Dai Li are against him and like corrupt, he doesn't stand by when it is proven that there's corruption in his nation, in his government. He roots it out. He does get dismissed pretty quickly and quietly at the start of book 3 when Aang is woken up from his coma and, oh yeah, the Earth King and his bear just left. I'll put Earth King. I think Earth King can go in B. I'll put him below Zhang Zhang. I'll put him below Zhang Zhang. Above June. Avatar Kyoshi. First lesbian representation in Avatar, even though it wasn't said. But she's in canon a lesbian character. Or bisexual character. A queer character. And super tall and buff. A violent Avatar. The first representation of the Avatar that we've seen as really truly violent outside of the Avatar state. Like, she chooses to take a violent action against her enemies, and she is a source of internal conflict for Aang when he goes to the other avatars for advice on how to beat Sozin without ending his life. Kyoshi's like, ice that fool. Kyoshi is a pretty simple character in how we see her in the show, but she's a cool character, cool design, very cool design. Kyoshi, I think Kyoshi will go somewhere in B, but where in B? Let's put her below June, above Sparky Sparky Boom Man. Next up is Long Fang, the corrupt head of the Dai Li, eventual subordinate to Azula, when Azula takes over Ba Sing Se, voiced by the legendary Clancy Brown himself. A cool character, a threatening character, a manipulative character, a real political character. Political player kind of character, an archetype we hadn't seen much of before that point, if any like real sort of Game of Thrones, you know, a threat, not because he's a physical threat, a powerful bender, but because he's smart and he's manipulative and he's tricky and he's corrupt and he works in the shadows and he plays off as like the positive face of Ba Sing Se and the advisor to the Earth King. I would say Long Fang can go in B. B or A. I'll say B. I'll say Longfang goes in B, above the Earth King. Above the Earth King, behind Zhang Zhang. Long shot from the Freedom Fighters, from Jet's Freedom Fighters. Pretty basic, honestly. Cool character, sort of like a doesn't really talk character, cool archer character. Pretty simple, but is cool in like his connection to the other Freedom Fighters and how dedicated they are to each other. I'll put him in C tier. There's not much to him. He doesn't talk much. Longshot can go in C tier. I'll put him at the top of C tier. There's reasons to care about Longshot. Love Mai. Never really gives a shit about the politics of Fire Nation. Puts politics to the side that she hates and has grown up in. Puts them to the side for the sake of who she cares about. Puts her own safety to the side to stand against Azula to fight for Zuko because she cares about Zuko. She loves Zuko more than she fears Azula, which is a great fucking line. And she is ready to square up to Azula, like the best firebender. I was about to say firefighter. The best firebender of her age. Ready to throw hands with Azula with some fucking daggers. Or throwing knives. Throwing stars. Whatever they are. Mai is a great character. She's also pleasant to be around and to watch when she's in love with Zuko and spending time with Zuko. But she's also not like, again, not like, you know, she's not head over heels for Zuko. She doesn't let Zuko get away with his shit of, you know, you've got your problems, but you can't let that affect the people around you. You have to work through that, and I'm here to help you work through that, but I'm not gonna put up with it. I like Mai a lot. I'll put Mai in A. I like Mai a lot. I'll put Mai in A above Hakoda, above Jet? Above Jet or below Jet? I'll put Mai. Mai has more of an impact in the story, I would say, than Jet. But I think Jet has a more powerful turnaround than Mai. I'll put Mai below Jet. Close run between those two, but I'll put her below Jet. Is this next character really... Is he really just named the Mechanist? The Mechanist? I thought he had a name.
Gang meets the Mechanist.
Yeah, Aang meets the Mechanist. Is this really? Is that really his name? I guess it is just the Mechanist. I thought he had a name. Okay, the Mechanist. A refugee from the Fire Nation, or not from the Fire Nation, but from a flood that destroyed his home. We're introduced to him as like kind of asshole destroying the... destroying this sacred nature of the air temple that he's in, but we come to learn why he's doing it, and his inventions help the good guys a whole lot throughout the show. Builds Aang a new glider. Where do we put the Mechanist? He's a strong character. He is working for the Fire Nation, we find out, but is doing it to protect his people. And then turns against him to fight the Fire Nation with the good guys. Strong character. Put him somewhere in B. I'll put him above. Put him above June. I'll put him above June. Below the Earth King. Next up is Momo. Momo is the pet who's more of a pet. Momo does have personality. Again, voiced by Dee Bradley Baker. So, of course, he has personality. Momo, he does have personality, but he's more of a pet than Appa. Appa is more active, more emotional, more driven than Momo. Momo does help in the fight and whatever, and he like fights Fire Nation soldiers and whatnot. I feel like Momo goes in B. He's a lovable character. We hear him speak when Aang has his hallucinations again. I'll put Momo somewhere in B. Oh, that feels so low for Momo. I'm looking into his big green eyes right now. I'm sorry, Momo. His big green lemur-y eyes. Do I put him above Kyoshi? I'll put him above Kyoshi. Sorry, Kyoshi. Don't kill me. You know, we do see some emotion behind Momo in Appa's Lost Days 2 when Momo's trying to track down Appa. And, like, oh, we see, like, a sad moment where he almost finds him, but, like, goes down to sleep in where Appa just was. Aw, Momo. But next up is Fire Lord Ozai, voiced fantastically by the legendary Mark Hamill. A great villain, a great just source of evil, vile terror, terrible person, scars his fucking son, brutalizes his son for speaking out of turn, and then exiles his son to a hopeless task that he'll never complete. A terrible person. Another weirdly political force, how he, like, plays the game to get Iroh removed from the line of succession because Iroh doesn't have any heirs. Only prizes power, and that's why. He doesn't love Azula, but he praises Azula for being powerful because that can serve him. He puts himself above the Fire Nation itself by wanting to become the Phoenix King. He's a powerful antagonist. And very threatening when we see him in action, when he lightning bends against Zuko, and when he fights Aang during Sozin's Comet. A terrifying force when he's just laying waste, just fucking raising the earth with that fire blast during Sozin's Comet from his airship. Where to put Ozai? I wouldn't even call him one-dimensional. He never, like, has a side of, like, oh, here's why he's evil kind of thing. But he's not as straightforward as one-dimensional, I want power, so I'm gonna take the throne by force, whatever. Even though he probably does poison. I think he does poison his dad to get the throne once he's in the line of succession, once he's first in line. And that's why Zuko's mother leaves. There you go. Zuko's mother agreed to trade, you know, her presence in order to keep Zuko alive and safe. And together, they kill the previous Fire Lord to allow Ozai to become Fire Lord. There you go. If you didn't know that lore, now you do. Ozai. I'm between A and B. I'm between A and B for Ozai. Where to put him? Is he better than Bumi? Maybe he's better than Bumi. He's not better than Hama. I would not put him above Hama. But he's interesting to watch. And even after he brings Zuko back in after he quote unquote kills the Avatar, I'll put him above Bumi. Yeah. Paku, the Northern Water Tribe master who teaches Aang and Katara, grows. His turnaround is kind of bullshit. He's very sexist and patriarchal and thinks women don't have a place in the fighting force until he realizes Katara is the granddaughter of the woman he loved. That's not a reason to fix your sexism. I feel rewatching the show in recent times, like, that's always stood out to me. He doesn't fix his sexism. He just allows Katara. He's just fine with teaching Katara because she's the granddaughter of the woman he loved. I think that does bump him down a little bit, honestly. I'll put him below Gyatso. Does become one of the White Lotus. He is cool to watch when he's bending and being a badass, but I don't know. He's not the strongest written character. He's an antagonistic force at first, or like a barrier to Katara's character. But there's no real turnaround for him. He just stops being an asshole in the specific scenario of Katara. Master Piondo, Sokka's swordmaster teacher. a cool character. Leads to Sasuke getting one of his more iconic weapons in the space sword. Teaches Sasuke a valuable lesson about allowing Sokka to feel strong and important in the gang despite not being a bender. That's a D&D character for one of my players. But that's besides the point. Gives Sasuke the position he needs to be as a leader, the courage and the independence he needs to be the leader of the gang, because Sokka really is the leader of the gang. It's not really Aang. And he gives Sokka, like, his own real fighting style, which Sokka didn't really have. He had his boomerang earlier on, but Sokka getting his sword, his space sword, and training from Piando, gives Sokka a more identifiable way to move in combat. And becomes one of the White Lotus, and stands his ground in the White Lotus among some of the best benders in the world, which goes on to, like, strengthen the point that he makes, the role that he plays, the courage he gives Sokka, to know that he can stand amongst some of the best benders in the world, even though I don't think we see him fighting any of the benders. I think he just, like, cut some spears on during Sozin's Comet when the White Lotus takes back Ba Sing Se. Would have been cool to see him, like, find a way to use his sword to fight some benders. I don't know. He plays a role. He's cool. Where to put him? I think he goes somewhere in B. Above Paku. Above Kyoshi, maybe? Above Momo? I'll put him below June, above Momo. Pipsqueak, a fun character. How old is Pipsqueak? Because I think he stays with the adults when he sends the Duke with the kids after the invasion fails. How old is Pipsqueak? I don't know. But he's fun. He's nice. He's supportive. He's funny. I think I put him... nobody really learns anything from him. He doesn't really serve the story much in other than just being another set of hands to help fight. I'll put him... I feel like he has less of an impact than your boy Longshot. I'll put him below Longshot and C. I feel like the Freedom Fighters are all cool, but they don't have much of an impact outside of Jet. They have more of an impact amongst each other. Roku, an advisory force to Aang, a supporter to Aang, a massive source of exposition to Aang throughout the entire show. Where to put Roku? Got a fucking dragon, so that gets him points. Fang definitely gives Roku points. They're kind of a package deal. Where to put Roku? Has to turn against his best friend in order to carry on in his role as the Avatar, the balancing force in the world. Has to make that hard decision. He is a badass himself when Aang embodies him or whatever. Where to put Roku? I'll put Roku in A. A or B. Is he better than Bumi? I would say so, because he sacrifices himself to save his people on the volcano. And he can't bring himself to kill his best friend. And that leads... he can't kill Sozin. And that leads to... everything. Leads to the whole fucking show. I'd say he's better than Bumi. I would say he's better than Ozai. Is he better than Hama? I feel like Hama has a bigger impact. Ooh, or does she? Hama's tricky because... putting people up against Hama is tricky because Hama has such a strong impact in her one episode and later episodes in a different way. Hama's presence is so strong in her first episode, in her only episode. So I have to keep that in mind. Roku is a longer-running character. What about Hakoda? Is he stronger than Hakoda? I like the family aspect of Hakoda more than I like the best friend aspect of Roku. I'll put him below Hakoda. Roku below Hakoda in A. Smeller B. I'll put her above Longshot. Again, I could just repeat myself about the points of the Freedom Fighters. They're all supportive of each other's characters. They're all good together, but there's not much to them outside of that. Like they're all like orphans and fighting the Fire Nation for that reason. But I'll put Smeller B at the top of C. Sokka, yeah, Sokka in A. Or S. Sokka in S. S for Sokka. I will put him... where in S? He's not better... He's under Iroh. Under Iroh and Azula. Is he above Aang? Is he above Aang? No, I feel like Aang's struggles are more harrowing than Sasuke's. Not Sasuke. Sokka. I'm gonna blame Alex for fucking Sasuke's name. Sokka. I feel like Sokka's struggles are more personal. Aang's are more large scale, of course. Is Sokka better than Katara? No, I feel like Katara is more heart-wrenching with her struggle to, like, whenever she steps out of her usual character to deal with stuff around her mom. But Sasuke is such a strong character. Is more than just a comedic relief, even though he is great comedic relief. Cactus Juice is the quenchiest. But Sasuke covers up his own insecurities with comedy, and he is great. He is a great comedic relief, and he's a great leader. Yeah. I like Sokka where he is. Jesus. Next up. Sozin, Fire Lord Sozin. A pretty simple character, pretty easy character, the best friend of Roku, but I would not put him on Roku's level. He's more straightforward, wants power, wants the Fire Nation to be strong, wants to be at the head of the Fire Nation when it's strong. I'll put Sozin. His impact is the strongest. His impact is the strongest, because he leads through the entire show using the Sozin's Comet to wipe out to begin the Hundred Years War and wipe out the Air Nomads to make Aang the last airbender, except for Mappa. Fucking, he is the cause of the name of the show. That's, yeah, I think that gives him some points. Without that, I would probably put him in... Honestly, I might put him in C. I put him in B. I put him in low B for his best friend relationship and the struggle that he faces in that best friend relationship with Roku. I'll put him low B above Paku, below Gyatso. But just the impact he has for being the motivating force, the cause of the entire show, I feel like that's going to bump him up some slots. So if I put him below Gyatso, I'll put him above Kiyoshi and below Momo, because that just feels right. Suki. Love Suki. Suki is sweet. She's strong. She actually does fix Sokka's sexism. She needs to talk to Paku. She needs to talk to Paku. He's a strong character, is a badass, is a leader. Helps fight Azula during Appa's Lost Days, saves Appa during Appa's Lost Days, holds her own in prison, is one of the gang. She's one of the gang, but she may be the only member of the gang who isn't S tier. Sorry, Suki. Sorry, any Suki stands out there. I'll put her in A. Below Jet, above Mai. I like that for Suki. Teo, the son of the Mechanist. Pretty standard. Some good representation for disabled folk, because he's able to do basically everything in the show. Being disabled is a part of his character, but it's not a limiting part of his character. Good representation. That gives him some points. Where to put Teo? I feel like he's pretty simple. he's an ally, but he's not like, he's not a driving force. His dad is more of a driving force than any of the support he give, the support they give. I'll put him bottom of B below Bato. But I actually do appreciate that he does offer some good representation. So I'll put him above Haru. The Boulder. I think the Boulder goes in C. The Boulder is fun. The Boulder is completely one note. The Boulder is a fun caricature. And it's cool that they turns to help the gang. Helps the good guys on Invasion Day. I like the Boulder. I'll put him top of C. I'll put the Boulder at the top of C. The Duke. With the rest of the Freedom Fighters. Sorry, Duke. I think I gotta put him at the bottom of the Freedom Fighters in C. Honestly, maybe lower than that. The only attention we really get on the Duke is the confusion between his and Pipsqueak's name. I think I gotta put him lower than the other Freedom Fighters. I'll put him below Cabbage Man, above the Sandbenders? No, I think the Duke might go at the bottom of C. Actually, would the Duke go to D? He's only around for one joke, and that's his entire point. He does nothing else. I think that he has zero effect on the plot. He isn't really needed in the rest of the Freedom Fighters. I think, is the Duke gonna be our only D rank character? D for the Duke. Sorry, Duke. You're our only D character. You are around for one joke. And then I guess he has like some sad, he shares in the sad moment of having to say goodbye to Pipsqueak when the invasion fails. But we already have that from everybody else. Yeah, sorry, Duke, you're in D. Toph Beifong, get up to A, girl. Get up to S, girl. Get up to S. I think stronger than Sokka. Again, some good representation for blind disability. But the limitation, being disabled is actually a strong driving force for her character and proving that she is more than her disability, which is great, great representation for disabled people. And she, not only does she push past her disability and prove that she is more than her disability, she is so much greater than her disability. She is the best earthbender in the world. Invents a new type of bending. And she's great. She's independent. She has to learn to push past her own insecurity around being diminished in order to, you know, be okay with Katara and be friendly with Katara. And she's rich and influential, but doesn't use it as a crutch or use it as a I'm better than you kind of situation. She kind of hates that she comes from that rich background and would rather be a runaway, i.e. her wrestling name. Yeah, Toph Beifong, S tier. Above Sokka, below Katara. Splitting the siblings. Ty Lee. Ty Lee is another strong one. I think Ty Lee goes into A. Maybe next to Mai? Maybe below Hakoda. Maybe below Hakoda. Because I feel like Hakoda's struggle with his family is more impactful because Hakoda is so tied to duty, and his duty is in support of his family and his loved ones and his people. Ty Lee goes off on her own and joins a circus for herself, but is still like loving and friendly and does become a good guy when she joins the Kyoshi Warriors and betrays Azula at the prison. She eventually becomes a Kyoshi Warrior. She's got a great fighting style with ki blocking. Yeah, I'll put her below Hakoda. A tier, below Hakoda. Next up is Ursa, Zuka and Azula's mother. Will do anything for her children. He's a good person, but will do bad things knowing they're bad and leave her family because she loves them and has to protect them. Is she a bad mom to Azula? I don't think so. Like, she has to reprimand Azula, and I think any of Azula's thoughts that Ursa hates her and sees her as a monster are self-imposed by Azula herself. I'll put Ursa in Ursa's not around a lot, but supports Zuko also in being a strong driving force in Zuko wanting to be a good person as well. That's another factor. I'll put Ursa in A, somewhere around Ozai. I'll put her below Ozai. Below Ozai, above Bumi. Wang Shi Tong, Keeper of the Library. Spirit Keeper of the Library. Such a cool character. Such a cool spirit. Very threatening. Awesome voice. Who the heck voices Wang Shi Tong? Let me see. Wang Shi Tong. Wang Shi Tong, not Wang Shi Tong. Wang Shi Tong voice actor. Hector Elizondo. Hector Elizondo. Awesome voice of Wang Shi Tong. I think he's got to go above Sparky Sparky Boom Man for sure. And his library leads to a big development in the plot with them learning about the eclipse. He's above Sparky Sparky Boom Man. I think he's above Kyoshi. Is he above Sozin? I think he's more memorable than Sozin. Is he above Momo? I'll put him below Momo. Below Momo, above Sozin. Wang Shi Tong, great single episode villain. Jin Fu, the ringmaster of the Earthbender Arena in the Earth Kingdom, where the gang first meets Toph. Pretty one note, honestly. Pretty one note, comes back to be a villain and try and capture Toph, get payback on her that way. Jin Fu. Where to put Jin Fu? I think he's gonna go C. I'll put him C above the Freedom Fighters, below the Boulder. The Boulder is a more memorable part of that whole arena bit. Princess Yue, the girl brought back to life by the Moon Spirit and eventually gives her life for the Moon Spirit, is part of a political marriage but wants to be with Sokka. A good character, I feel like, somewhere in B. A good character, gives her life for the sake of her people, has nice interactions with Sokka. She's in a heartbreaking situation where she wants to be with Sasuke but can't. I'll put her above the Mechanist. Above the Mechanist. Yeah, I feel like that's a good spot. I'll put her above the Earth King as well. Below Longfang. And she becomes the Moon Spirit. Sokka's first great love. Yeah. I like Yue there. I like Yue and B. Master Yu, the earthbending teacher who was quote-unquote teaching Toph how to earthbend, but he's pretty simple. I'd probably put him with Jin Fu, honestly. They're pretty side-by-side in this, I feel. Above or below Jin Fu? I'll put him below Jin Fu. Actually, do I put you in front of the Freedom Fighters or below the Freedom Fighters? I'll put him below the Freedom Fighters, actually. Admiral Zhao. Voiced by motherfucking Jason Isaacs, the voice of villains. One of the voice of villains in the show. This show is full of great villain voices. Admiral Zhao is great. I feel like he's the most memorable villain. Maybe aside from Azula, he's one of the better memorable villains, impactful villains in the show. Is felt after his death when he dies in the actually that yeah that's another death aside from Jet. He is definitely killed when Aang bonds with the sea spirit and goes Avatar state. Zhao definitely dies because we see him and Korra at the same age in the spirit realm. Well, I guess he doesn't die then. I guess he gets taken into the spirit realm. Sorry, Jet, you're still the only death. I think Zhao goes in A. I think Zhao goes in A. He's a great villain. He's threatening. He's climbing the ranks in the Fire Nation military. Yeah. Zhao is great. I think he's above Bumi. I'm fine with keeping him below Ursa. Yeah, that feels right. Kills a spirit, though. That's a big thing. I feel like I don't want to put him above Ozai, because I feel like Ozai is more fun to watch in his political machinations and his firebending. Yeah, I'll keep him there. Below Ursa, sure. And finally, our challenger to Azula for possibly the best character in the show. When I said this at the start, when I said this around Azula, you probably expected this was the person I was talking about, the character I was talking about. It's fucking Zuko, the exiled prince, the eventual Fire Lord Zuko. Definitely an S, unquestionable. Starts off as basically the main antagonist against the gang in book one, and becomes their greatest ally. He's a member of the gang. Such a complete 180 in terms of the show. It's so heartbreaking to see where he starts, and so wonderful to see where he ends, and his interactions with Iroh just crushing you. Like when he goes to see Iroh in the jail cell after he's like betrayed him, and he just breaks down and like insults and shouts at Iroh because he just wants answers, because he doesn't know what he wants. He thought coming back home and being accepted by his dad was all he ever wanted, but it wasn't true. Now he has it, and he's still not happy. He's angry at himself. Ugh. Zuko's so good. And without a doubt, shout out to Dante Bosco, the awesome, awesome voice actor for Zuko, killing it in this performance throughout the show. Heartbreaking and threatening and lovable. If he's not number one, he's number two. Is he better than Azula? I think so, because not only do we know why he is where he starts at the beginning of the show, we know what it takes to bring him back around. And I feel like that's not even a 180 in his character. It's a full 360. He runs the gambit of kind child who wants to do good and wants to be loved by his family, turned away from his family, sent out by his family, hated by his family, ostracized by a family, exiled by them, and desperate for their love when he has the love he always needed from Iroh, and comes back around to being the good guy because of Iroh and Aang and Katara and Sokka and Toph, and learns that he never needed his father and escapes that cycle of abuse, honestly, and becomes the good man he was always meant to be. I think we gotta put Zuko at the number one position. I think he's the best character in Avatar The Last Airbender, in the Avatar franchise. Hi, Zuko here, at number one. Well, this is a long episode, but I think it was fun. Tier lists are fun. Did I place any of these characters in insane orders? Was it silly to put all the gang members, minus Suki, into S tier? Did Momo deserve to be higher? Let me know. What do you think about Avatar The Last Airbender? Are you excited for the movie coming out soon? Yes, I know it got leaked, but I'm going to still see it in theaters. I think I'm very excited for it. Tell me your thoughts. Should anybody be anywhere else, any other crazy positions on this tier list? Thank you for joining me yet again. Hopefully it won't take 100 years for Cole to rejoin us. But with that, I will leave you, and don't forget to be unquestionably nerdy. Good night.